Have you ever wondered what the true price of silence is? Not the kind that brings peace, but the kind that hides deep wounds, masks painful truths, and gradually destroys entire families. Today I'm going to tell you a story that goes far beyond the holy books. A story about how even the man who was after God's own heart failed miserably as a father. Picture a young, virtuous princess walking through the corridors of the royal palace. Her footsteps echo as she makes her way to her half-brother's room, carrying only kindness and innocence. She doesn't know it yet, but she's about to experience a nightmare that will change her life forever. And most shockingly, the deafening silence that follows from the one who should have protected her. To understand the magnitude of this family tragedy, we must first cast our gaze to Jerusalem around 1,000 years before Christ. There, at the highest point in the city, sits the royal palace where David, the greatest king Israel has ever known, lived, a man who conquered kingdoms, defeated giants, and composed psalms that still move hearts today. But this is not a story about his victories. It is about his greatest defeat as a father. David built an impressive empire. His military conquests expanded Israel's borders like never before. His kingdom prospered, and his name was synonymous with wisdom and justice. But within the palace walls, a complex dynamic was at work. With multiple wives and concubines, David had an extended family with sons and daughters from different mothers, a common practice among monarchs of the time, but one that created inevitable tensions. Among his sons was Amon, the firstborn, next in line to the throne. There was also Absalom, known for his beauty and charisma, and his sister Tamar, a young princess whose life was about to be devastated by a web of events that her own father could have prevented. What makes this story particularly relevant for us today is not just the dramatic events that comprise it, but the timeless lessons about family and leadership that it offers. When we examine the events leading up to Tamar's tragedy, we find patterns of behavior and warning signs that continue to be repeated in modern families. How can a leader be so perceptive about matters of state and so blind to dangerous dynamics within his own home? How can a father known for his sensitivity in composing psalms turn mute in the face of his daughter's suffering? More importantly, what can we learn from these mistakes to protect our own families? Let's unpack not only the events that led to the destruction of David's family peace, but we will also identify three crucial warning signs that every parent needs to be aware of in order to avoid similar tragedies. Because while times have changed, the family dynamics that can lead to disaster remain frighteningly similar. This is a story about power, betrayal, and consequences, but above all, it is a cautionary tale about how the silence of those who should be protecting can become a weapon more devastating than any act of violence. As recorded in 2 Samuel chapter 3, David's rise to the throne was marked not only by military conquests but also by the expansion of his family. In Hebron he had six sons by different women, Amon by Ahinoam, Chileab by Abigail, Absalom by Maacah, Adonijah by Haggith, Shephathiah by Abital, and Itham by Eglah. Later in Jerusalem his family continued to grow. The atmosphere of the royal palace was a reflection of this familial complexity. Imagine large stone halls where brothers and half-brothers grew up together, each carrying not only the burden of being the son of the king but also the expectations and ambitions of their respective mothers. Scripture tells us in 2 Samuel 13 verse 1 that amidst this setting, Absalom had a sister named Tamar, who was beautiful, and Amon, another son of David, fell in love with her. Before the tragedy that would change everything, life in the palace followed a seemingly normal routine. David divided his time between the responsibilities of the kingdom and his extended family. The scriptures show that he was a man who had conquered virtually everything he desired. His kingdom extended from Dan to Beersheba, 2 Samuel chapter 3 verse 10. A phrase that indicated the entire territory of Israel. But behind this facade of prosperity and power, subtle signs of trouble began to appear. The first was in the family structure itself, with so many sons from different mothers. Rivalries and jealousies were inevitable. Each prince had his own entourage, his own supporters, and of course, his own ambitions. Amon, as the firstborn, occupied a special position. The scriptures show that he had privileged access to the palace and considerable influence. Absalom, in turn, already demonstrated the characteristics that would later make him a rebel: charisma, ambition, and a strong sense of personal justice. Among them lived Tamar, protected as was the custom with the virgins of the royal house. A crucial figure in this story mentioned in 2 Samuel 13, verse 3, is Jonadab, David's nephew and Amnon's friend, described as a very astute man. He would be the catalyst that would turn an already tense situation into an irreversible tragedy. His presence at court and his closeness to Amon demonstrate how malicious individuals can exploit vulnerable family structures. What makes this situation even more tragic is that all the elements leading to disaster were visible: the isolation of the children in their own groups, the lack of close parental supervision, and the presence of questionable advisors. As written in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 3, the prudent see the danger and take refuge, but the naive go ahead and pay the penalty. David, busy with matters of the kingdom and perhaps overconfident in the apparent harmony of his home, failed to notice how the relationships between his sons were deteriorating. The same man who had the discernment to judge the most complex matters of the kingdom was losing sight of the dangerous dynamics under his own roof. Scripture teaches us in Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 6-7 that fathers are to teach their children diligently, teaching them these things when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. But amidst the demands of the kingdom and the complexity of his family, David seemed to have lost sight of this fundamental responsibility. The stage was set for a tragedy that would not only destroy the life of an innocent young woman, it would also set in motion a chain of events that would shake the entire kingdom. And it all began with something seemingly simple: a lustful glance and malicious advice. The narrative takes a dark turn when scripture reveals in 2 Samuel 13:2 that Amon became so obsessed with his sister Tamar that he became sick. This was not brotherly love, it was an unhealthy, all-consuming obsession. As the firstborn son of the king, Amon was accustomed to having his desires fulfilled, but this time the object of his desire was forbidden: his own half-sister. The situation worsens when Jehonadab enters the picture. Described in 2 Samuel 13, verse 3, as a very shrewd man, seeing his friend wasting away, asks him, "Why do you, son of the king, look so gaunt morning after morning? Will you not tell me?" This seemingly innocent question would open the door to one of the most evil schemes recorded in scripture. Here we see how manipulative people can turn complex situations into irreversible tragedies. Instead of advising Amon to abandon his impure thoughts, Jehonadab devised a diabolical plan. He suggested, "Lie down and pretend to be sick," Jehonadab said. "When your father comes to see you, say to him, 'I wish my sister Tamar would come and give me something to eat.'" 2 Samuel 13:5. The plan was as simple as it was cruel. Taking advantage of the customs of the time where it was common for the women of the family to care for the sick, Jehonadab created the perfect trap. He knew that neither David nor Tamar would suspect ill intentions in a seemingly innocent request from a sick brother. The execution of the plan reveals just how corrupt Amon had become. He did not hesitate to lie to his father, manipulate his sister, and abuse the family trust. Scripture shows us in 2 Samuel 13, verse 6, how he staged his illness. So Amon lay down and pretended to be sick. When the king came to see him, Amon said to her, "I wish my sister Tamar would come and make some special bread in my presence so that I may eat from her hand." The request sounded natural to David. After all, who would suspect malice in a brother wanting to be cared for by his sister? This is one of the most poignant moments in the narrative, because we see how a father's innocence can inadvertently put his children in danger. In its wisdom, the book of Proverbs chapter 27, verse 12, warns us, "The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple go ahead and pay the penalty." In this case, all the warning signs were ignored. Amnon's unhealthy obsession, Jonadab's suspicious advice, and the unusual request for specific care. Amnon's plan was not just about fulfilling a forbidden desire. It was about power, control, and the perversion of family ties. He used his position as firstborn, his father's trust, and his sister's kindness to create a situation where he could carry out his darkest intentions. As Tamar, innocent and obedient, made her way to her brother's chambers to care for him, no one could have predicted the horror that was about to unfold. As it is written in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 26, "I find a woman who is a snare, whose heart is a trap, and whose hands are chains, more bitter than death. The man who pleases God will escape from her, but the sinner will be trapped by her." Quote, what happens next is recorded in 2 Samuel 11 with painful clarity. When Tamar arrives at Amnon's chambers, she finds her brother who is apparently sick. With sisterly devotion, she prepares food before him, showing all the care a devoted sister could have. But then the mask falls, but when she takes it to him to eat, he grabs her and says, "Come to bed with me, my sister." 2 Samuel 13:11. At this terrible moment, Tamar realizes the trap she has fallen into. Her immediate response reveals not only her character but also her knowledge of the law and her intelligence in an extremely dangerous situation. "No, my brother," she pleads, "do not force me. Such a thing must not be done in Israel. Do not do this wickedness." 2 Samuel 13:12. She tries to reason with him, appealing to the law, to morality, to whatever remnant of decency might still exist in her heart. She even suggests that he speak to the king in a desperate attempt to gain time or find a way out. But Amon, consumed by his obsession, refuses to listen to her and, being stronger than she, rapes her. 2 Samuel 13:14. The violence of this act is further amplified by what happens next. Scripture reveals that immediately after the attack, Amnon's supposed love turns to hatred. Amon then hated her with intense hatred. In fact, he hated her more than he had loved her. 2 Samuel 13:15. In a final act of cruelty, Amon casts her out, adding public humiliation to the violence already committed. A devastated Tamar put ashes on her head and tore the ornate robe she was wearing. She put her hands on her head and went away weeping loudly. 2 Samuel 13:19. Her act of tearing her clothes and covering herself with ashes was a public sign of mourning and tragedy in the culture of the day. And here we come to the moment that gives this story its title, David's silence. When the news reaches his ears, Scripture tells us that when King David heard all this, he was furious. 2 Samuel 13:21. But what follows is even more revealing. Silence, no action, no justice, no protection for his raped daughter. Some scholars suggest that David may have felt paralyzed by his own past guilt, remembering his sin with Bathsheba. Others argue that he was torn between his role as king and as father, but regardless of the reasons, the outcome was devastating. A daughter destroyed, a criminal unpunished, and seeds of vengeance planted in the heart of Tamar's brother Absalom. David's silence resonates through the centuries as a warning to all parents. When those in authority and responsibility choose not to act in the face of injustice, especially within their own families, the consequences are devastating and far-reaching. Tamar lived a bereft woman in her brother Absalom's household. 2 Samuel 13:20. Her life, once filled with promise and possibility, was reduced to an existence of isolation and trauma. The palace that should have been her refuge became the setting for her nightmare, and the father who should have been her protector became complicit through his silence. This silence not only failed to bring justice for Tamar, but it also planted the seeds for an even greater tragedy, as recorded in Ecclesiastes chapter 8 verse 11. When the sentence for a crime is not carried out quickly, people's hearts become filled with schemes to do evil. Silence comes at a price, and in David's family that price would be exacted with interest. 2 Samuel 13:22 reveals that Absalom never said a word to Amon, good or bad. He hated Amon because he had dishonored his sister Tamar. This silence, unlike David's passive silence, was calculated. The silence that precedes a storm. For 2 whole years, Absalom harbored his hatred, feeding it day after day. Scripture shows how he meticulously planned his revenge, waiting for the perfect moment. The Bible text highlights that 2 years later, 2 Samuel 13:23, Absalom finally put his plan into action. Absalom's plan was just as cunning as Amnon's had been, but with a different purpose. He organized a sheep shearing festival, an event traditionally celebrated with a large banquet, as recorded in 2 Samuel 13:24. He invited all the king's sons, including David himself, even though he knew the king probably would not attend. When David hesitated to allow Amon to go to the party, Absalom specifically insisted on his older brother's presence. But please let my brother Amon come with us. 2 Samuel 13:26. The request seemed innocent, but it carried a death sentence. During the banquet, when Amon was merry with wine, 2 Samuel 13:28, Absalom gave the signal to his servants. The command was clear. When Amon is merry with wine and I tell you to strike him, then kill him. The time for vengeance had come. The execution was swift and brutal. The king's other sons, fearing for their own lives, mounted their mules and fled. 2 Samuel 13:29. The news that first reached David was even worse than the reality. Absalom has struck down all the king's sons. Not one is left. 2 Samuel 13:30. At this point we see again how bad news travels fast, but not always accurately. Jonadab, the same man who had advised Amon in his evil plan, now appears to reassure the king. My lord must not think that all the princes have been killed. Only Amon is dead. 2 Samuel 13:32. David's reaction to Amnon's death shows a father torn between love for his sons and the consequences of his own previous silence. Scripture tells us that the king arose, tore his clothes, and lay down on the ground. 2 Samuel 13:31. But the cycle of violence and silence was far from over. Absalom fled to Geshur, where he remained for 3 years. During this time, as we read in 2 Samuel 13, verse 39, King David longed to go to Absalom because he was comforted over the death of Amon. A father's heart, even in the face of tragedy and fratricide, still yearned for his son. This sequence of events shows us how violence begets violence and how silence in the face of injustice can lead to even more devastating consequences. As it is written in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, "Do not be deceived, God is not mocked. A man reaps what he sows." The price of David's initial silence in the wake of Tamar's rape was now multiplied. A daughter destroyed, a son murdered, another son in exile, and a royal family in ruins. And yet the consequences would continue to unfold. To fully understand the impact of this family tragedy, we need to examine the crucial leadership mistakes David made as a father. The same man who demonstrated extraordinary courage in the face of Goliath and exceptional wisdom in ruling Israel failed at critical moments when his family needed him most. The first fundamental mistake was lack of vigilance. As an experienced leader, David should have recognized the warning signs. In 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, we learn that the Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Ironically, David, a man chosen for his ability to see beyond appearances, failed to perceive the dark intentions within his own household. The second mistake was paralysis in the face of crisis. When evil was done to Tamar, Scripture tells us that David was enraged but failed to act. This inaction is particularly significant when we consider that as king he had all the power necessary to administer justice. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 15 states, "When justice is done, it brings joy to the righteous but terror to the evildoers." David failed in his role as both a father and an established authority. The third mistake, perhaps the most devastating, was allowing his past to compromise his present. Some scholars suggest that David may have felt disqualified from punishing Amon because of his own sin with Bathsheba. In 2 Samuel 12, verse 10, the prophet Nathan had prophesied that the sword will never depart from your house because of your actions. However, this prophecy was not an excuse for inaction, but a warning that should have made him more vigilant as a family leader. David demonstrated a dangerous tendency to avoid necessary conflict. In 1 Kings 1, verse 6, referring to another of his sons, Adonijah, Scripture tells us that his father had never rebuked him by asking, "Why do you behave like this?" This pattern of not confronting evil at home had devastating consequences. David's passive leadership created a vacuum of authority that was filled with violence and revenge. In Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11, we are warned, "When the sentence for a crime is not carried out quickly, people's hearts become filled with schemes to do evil." David's silence in the face of Amnon's crime essentially authorized Absalom to take justice into his own hands. Perhaps the most subtle, yet equally significant, mistake was the failure to create an environment of open and safe communication within his family. When Tamar was attacked, she found no safe haven in her father to seek justice. When Absalom was plotting revenge, no amount of dialogue could have prevented further violence, as it is written in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 15, "The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left undisciplined brings shame to his mother." The absence of loving and consistent discipline created an environment where David's sons followed their own often destructive paths. These leadership errors are not just historical lessons, they are relevant warnings for anyone in positions of authority, especially within the family. When those who should protect and guide choose the path of silence and inaction, the consequences can reverberate for generations. What can we learn from this ancient family tragedy that still resonates so strongly today? The lessons are profound and urgently relevant to modern families, regardless of social standing or cultural background. The first crucial lesson is the importance of active vigilance. As 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8 warns, we must be vigilant and sober-minded. In today's world, where our children and young people face often invisible threats through social media and digital relationships, this vigilance becomes even more crucial. It is not about obsessive control, but about attentive presence and genuine interest in our children's lives. The warning signs that David ignored have their modern equivalents: sudden changes in behavior, unusual isolation, strained or inappropriate family relationships, the presence of counselors with questionable influence. The second fundamental lesson is the need for immediate action in situations of abuse. David's silence after the violence against Tamar teaches us that inaction in the face of evil is itself a form of complicity. As written in James chapter 4 verse 17, if anyone knows the good he ought to do and does not do it, it is sin for him. Today, this means creating open channels of communication within the family, setting clear and consistent boundaries, acting promptly when abuse is suspected, seeking professional help when needed. The third lesson is about the importance of breaking cycles of violence. David's family tragedy unfolded in an escalating spiral from inappropriate desire to sexual violence, from silence to deadly revenge. Galatians chapter 6 verse 7-8 reminds us that a man reaps what he sows. For modern families, this means identifying and addressing toxic relationship patterns, seeking peaceful resolution to conflict, promoting forgiveness without neglecting justice, and creating safe environments for emotional expression. The fourth lesson is about the need for active and present leadership. Proverbs chapter 22 verse 6 instructs us to train children in the way they should go. This instruction requires presence, involvement, and consistent example. In practical terms, today this means being actively involved in your children's lives, demonstrating values through actions, not just words, creating regular moments of family connection, and being available in times of crisis. Finally, we learn about the importance of breaking silence. Fear, shame, or the desire to keep up appearances cannot be stronger than the need to protect the vulnerable. As it says in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 11, have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For families today, this means creating an environment where difficult truths can be spoken, establishing networks of support and protection, and not being afraid to seek outside help when needed. Prioritizing the safety and well-being of the vulnerable over appearances. These lessons are not mere suggestions, they are life or death principles for family health. As we saw in Tamar's story, the price of silence and omission can be devastating, and its consequences can reverberate for generations. So how can we turn these lessons into concrete actions to protect and strengthen our families? Here are practical and immediate steps that can be implemented. First, establish regular times of family dialogue. Don't wait for problems to arise to create spaces for communication. Do as Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 7 instructs, discussing these matters when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you rise. Second, develop a family safety plan. This includes knowing your children's friends and social circles, setting clear rules about internet and social media use, and creating passwords for safe situations. Always keep emergency contacts up to date. Third, seek professional preventive support. Just as we consult doctors for regular checkups, having a family counselor or therapist can help identify and address problems before they become crises. Fourth, strengthen family bonds through regular family meals, shared activities, times of prayer or reflection together, and celebrations of family achievements and milestones. Finally, remember that there is no perfect family, but there are vigilant and prepared families, as it is written in Proverbs chapter 24 verse 3-4. By wisdom a house is built, by understanding it is settled, and by knowledge its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. The story of Tamar, Ammon, and David is not just a historical account, it is a mirror that reflects the challenges that many families face today. The silence that destroyed this royal family continues to pose a real threat to contemporary homes. But unlike Tamar, we do not have to carry our ashes in solitude. Unlike David, we do not have to let our past paralyze our present actions. And unlike Ammon and Absalom, we do not have to let destructive impulses determine the destinies of our families. As written in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3, the Lord promises to grant them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. This promise of restoration is available to all families who choose to break the cycle of silence and omission. The choice is before us. We can be like David, who remained silent in the face of evil, or we can be agents of change and protection in our families. The price of silence is too high to ignore. It's time to speak up, to act, and to protect, because sometimes breaking the silence is the first step to restoring peace. M.